Two texts that we will look at this evening as we contemplate our subject, which is Emmanuel, the mediator, God with us. Christ Jesus is our mediator, and we find in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, our first text. And then I'll ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll begin at verse 30 and read through verse 31. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18, this is God's word. You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but he was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who God raised from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Then turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, would you read, follow as I read, beginning at verse 30, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. Because of him, that is Christ Jesus, you are, because of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is the word of God. Then would you turn in your bulletin to the page where we have listed the text of the Lord's Day concerning the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read each of the questions and answers of Lord's Day 6, if you'd like to follow as I read. And this is the Catechism's treatment of the teaching of the Word of God concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator for sinners. Question 16. Why must he be truly human and truly righteous? Because, the answer says, God's justice demands that human nature, which has sinned, must pay for its sin, but a sinner could never pay for others. Why must he also be true God? Answer, so that by the power of his divinity, he might bear the weight of God's anger in his humanity and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. And who is this mediator? True God, and at the same time truly human and truly righteous, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was given us to set us completely free and to make us right with God. How do you come to know this? The Holy Gospel tells me. God himself began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later, he proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets, and portrayed it by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. Finally, he fulfilled it through his own dear Son. Beloved in the Lord, this evening our subject is the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. What has been stated in the previous Lord's Day, Lord's Day 5 in our catechism, was the fact that it was necessary for us to have such a mediator who is able to deliver us from our sins. What was listed as qualifications in Lord's Day 5 is now turned to, and an identification is given in Lord's Day 6, where this compilation of the teaching of the Scripture is brought together to focus in upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Catechism is going to view the teaching of Scripture, beginning with the Incarnation, and show us that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is our mediator, the Son of God who came in the flesh to die in our place, and that this was indeed God's plan from the very beginning, that God had one singular purpose, and that purpose was to have his Son become man, to be crucified on a cross, to be raised from death, and to be glorified and to redeem his church for all eternity. That is God's great purpose revealed to us in Holy Scripture. And in this Lord's Day in our catechism, he makes clear, the author of the Catechism makes clear, that this is the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, as we saw in the Chalcedonian Creed, truly God and truly man in one person. So first of all, let us consider what the Catechism is going to cover as it sort of, you know, I like to look at the Catechism in this way. Are you familiar with hydroplane races? When I lived in Pennsylvania, they had what they called the Fabra Dam. It was an inflatable dam. And when they inflated the dam, the river would rise and it would become a big lake. And they had hydroplane races on this lake. Craziest thing you ever saw. People going over 100 miles an hour on little boats that if they flipped, you'd die. I mean, boom. But they just scooted right across the water. That's how I view the Catechism. The Catechism takes the whole of the teaching of Scripture, scoots across it, but it summarizes it. Okay, so we're going to summarize what it teaches by beginning to look at, first of all, what must this mediator be? That's the first question in this Lord's Day of the Catechism. Who is this mediator? What kind of mediator is he? And the answer comes back, he is a righteous person. He is a righteous man. He is a man, but he is also God. He has to be a righteous man because he had to come and die for humanity, for sinners, for those who had sinned. God did not send and would not send an angel to die for the sin of humanity because it was humanity that sinned. And he had to die. The mediator had to be able to give his life. So he had to be able to fulfill those many texts, one of which says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so that is why the Catechism underscores what the Chalcedonian Creed summarized so very, very briefly. He is truly God and truly man. He is a part of humanity. He partakes of our human nature. He is not a temporary appearance. He doesn't come as a temporary appearance, as though he were some vague mystical person. He was a true human being descending from our human nature according to our human nature and born into the human family through the Virgin Mary, but he did not take upon himself sin because he was not born as a descendant of Adam through Adam in terms of his father. He was born of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary, and he was born into our human nature so that he might live a righteous and holy life completely free from what we are all born with. And what are we born with? Born with sin, a nature that sins. From the minute we're born, we sin. It's part of our being connected to Adam. And Jesus was born, though he was born of the Virgin Mary, he did not come with a sin nature. So he did not participate in our guilt and in our sin. He lived a perfect and a holy life. And the reason he lived a perfect and a holy life was so that he might live a righteous life before God and obey the law of God perfectly so that he might give that righteousness to us that we lacked so that we might stand before God perfect and whole and righteous. He is a man born with a human nature, but the Scripture also says, as the Catechism summarizes, he is also God, God in the flesh. And the reason that he is this kind of mediator, who is both God and man, is because human nature in and of itself would not be able to bear the wrath and the penalty of God upon our sin. But because he was God in the flesh, he could bear that infinite punishment of the punishment and the wrath of God upon our sin, because his deity sustained his human nature. And he could give us, therefore, that which we could not earn. If we lived an eternity, we could not earn what we need to stand before God, the righteousness that we lack because of our sin in Adam. And what does this mediator do? As I've told you before, I'd like to, from time to time, give you some snippets from the author of the Catechism through his lectures that remain with us. And he gives a very good paragraph on what the mediator does in this passage as he contemplates the catechism and as he lectured on it. Christ performs the office of the mediator, and he lists the several things that he does for us and for God. He intercedes with the Father for us. We know that passage of Scripture, Hebrews 4, where it says we have a great high priest who has entered into the heavens, who is Christ, the Son of God. And what does the passage go on to say? Come to the throne of grace. Not only does he intercede with the Father for us, but he invites us into the very presence of God. But he offers himself as well as a satisfaction for our sin on our behalf, because we cannot pay that infinite price for our sin. And he makes that satisfaction for dying, by dying for us and enduring a punishment which is sufficient to meet the need that existed. The death of Jesus Christ was sufficient to pay for the penalty of all of our sins. And he gives us the promise of everlasting life by sending forth the Holy Spirit into our lives. He presents himself to us as the one who gives us the gift of eternal life. He not only has made that satisfaction, but in the power of the gospel, he comes to us and he works faith in us by sending forth the Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our lives, and then sealing us by that Spirit forever into the family of God, so that we belong to him forever. And finally, he will raise us from the dead and glorify us. So that passage in John's gospel that says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again that you may be with me, is true. Whether we live or die, we will be with Jesus. And he does all that as our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what the mediator does. That's his person. The second part of the question, question 17 in the Catechism and question 18 in particular, gets more to the clear identity of who is this mediator, particularly question 18. Who is this mediator that has been described as in a human nature and with the power of deity? He is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Very God of very God, as one of the other creeds puts it. I like that, because it underscores that he is truly, truly God. I'm sorry to have to disagree with so many who teach false teaching, but I have to stand on what the truth of the Bible says. And when they come knocking at my door, I don't just hide behind the door, but I invite the Jehovah's Witnesses in, hopeful that the witness of the power of the gospel will get through to them, that their understanding of who Jesus is wrong, that John 1 verse 1 is true when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is God in the flesh, according to verse 14 of John 1. And we should proclaim that message to everyone that we meet. He is God in the flesh, the one that God sent into this world to be the ambassador to the human race to reveal the perfect will of God in his prophetic office, in his priestly office and ministry to lay down his life as a sacrifice for sinners, and in his kingly office to bring and to gather to himself the people for whom he shed his blood. This is our Lord Jesus Christ as he is set forth in Holy Scripture. And so when we ask with question 18, who is this mediator? The answer comes back, he is God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, the full image of God, the one who is one with God the Father, and the one who is the very gift of God, who was sent by the Father, who came to die in the place of sinners upon the cross, that he might set us free from our sin. That's why, once again, I love the words of the Chalcedonian Creed. And toward the end of it, did you see that it had that phrase that he came for us and what? For our salvation. That's what God the Father sent God the Son to do. For us and for our salvation. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in the text we read, that he has become to us wisdom from God. He has become not only wisdom from God, but righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This is what Christ has done for us. He is the wisdom of God, because in the wisdom of the world it did not know God, but God sent him to be the wisdom of God. Righteousness, because the righteousness of Jesus transcends the righteousness of Adam before he fell. And we who are in Adam and united to Adam, and everyone here and everyone but Jesus, is directly descended from Adam and has the guilt of Adam's sin in him when he is born. And we are deficient in that department of righteousness. We need the righteousness of Jesus to be able to stand before God. And he justifies us by his grace, according to Romans, and by that grace of justification, the righteousness that is not our own comes to us, and we're clothed in a righteousness that's divine, and we can stand before God in a righteousness that Jesus has procured for us. He is not only our righteousness, he is our sanctification. He regenerates us by his power and grace. And full redemption is ours because he delivers us from sin and from condemnation. The power of sin has been defeated in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day we will be delivered from the fullness of the presence of sin forever when we enter glory. Jesus is this mediator, and all this is made unto us, as the Word of God says. And it is speaking to those who are called of God, the elect of God, who become children of God by the grace and the power of God our Father, who has loved us from eternity. Now we come to the third question of this consideration this evening, which is really a question that's expressed in number 19 in your catechism. How do you get to know all this? Where do you come to find out about this mediator? Now, some people would say, go to church. Well, that might help a little bit, but no. Even by going to church, you're only going to find it in one place. Holy Scripture, through the Word of God. It's revealed in the Gospel. That's the answer of the Catechism, and I love that answer. It's revealed in the Gospel. And then the Catechism goes on to say, God himself began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Do you remember that? Where was the gospel in paradise? Well, when Adam and Eve sinned and they hid from God, and then God came to them in the cool of the day, as was the custom, and he called out, Adam, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, well, I was hiding from you because I had done something wrong. He finally kind of comes clean and admits his sin. There's that dealing of God with Adam and Eve in the garden. And they had come in their fig leaves to cover themselves before the presence of God. But see, our fig leaves are insufficient to cover us. God takes away the fig leaves and provides them a covering of an animal and the skin of an animal. And the only way you're going to get a skin of an animal is if you skin the animal. And if you skin the animal, you have to shed its blood. And that's the first shedding of blood that we see in the Bible. And then we go on in the Bible and we see that the Lord would give to the people of Israel the message of the shedding of blood through the lambs and the goats that were slain. And when you look at Leviticus, as we did some months ago, and we saw the sacrifices that were continuous in that temple and in that tabernacle that were built for the worship of God, you could not come into the presence of God apart from the shedding of blood. And blood of an animal was shed that signified that there was a substitute for the person that was bringing himself to worship. Because if he wanted to come before God, he couldn't come without the shedding of blood. And that was a picture and a prediction of what would happen with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the gospel being proclaimed in the Old Testament period that there would be one day a lamb that would come whose blood was shed from all eternity. And that is the Lamb of God. John says in John chapter 1, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why does he say the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Because he's tying everything in the Old Testament to the coming now of the mediator who would give his life and shed his blood as a ransom for sinners. And that's the gospel, beloved in the Lord. The gospel is the joyous news that Jesus came to die and to save sinners. Why do you think that when the angels came, and that's why we're going to sing that song after the message this evening, Joy to the World, it's not just a Christmas song, it's a gospel song. Because when the angels came to announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, what did they say? Great joy is to you. A Savior is born this day. Great joy. And that's the joy and the joyful news of the gospel of the Son of God revealed from heaven as the mediator of sinners. Between God and sinners, there is a mediator who brings to us the free grace of God. Now, I need to also mention to you that as we talk about this question and answer, it says the Holy Gospel, and the answer in verse 19, tells me that God began to reveal the gospel already in paradise, later through the patriarchs and the prophets, portrayed it in the sacrifices, and we've said that, but I want you to know that there are some people who have thought that there are other ways of salvation. And when you question people, and you ask the question, how were people saved under the Old Testament, sometimes you get wrong answers. And sometimes people will say, well, I think people were saved in the time of Moses by obeying the law. It's absolutely wrong, because they were saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in anticipation of that gospel of the joyous news that was proclaimed, that was pictured in all of those sacrifices that Moses ordained. But nowhere in the Bible is there anything that teaches that there are two ways of salvation. There's but one way. And that's why our catechism is correct. It stands on Scripture that says there is one way of salvation, and it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you think about that answer of obeying the law of God, I mean, how do you deal with the texts of Scripture that say nobody can? And how do you deal with the fact that in reality, who could anyway? Certainly I couldn't, because I know what a sinner I am. There's no way that I could achieve what is absolutely necessary for me to stand before a holy God. That is absolute 100% obedience to His law. One person alone who walked the face of this earth was able to do that. Our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's something that we need to remember. There is only one way of salvation in the Old Testament and in the New Testament alike. And how do we get to know that? Through the gospel. The good news that's proclaimed by the power of the Word and by the testimony of the Holy Spirit. It's the testimony of the gospel. The gospel is the good news. It proclaims that believers in Jesus will be forgiven of their sins because of His perfect sacrifice and His work at Calvary. That's the message that needs to be in our hearts, that we need to receive by the power of the gospel and by the infinite work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to trust Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. He is our only mediator, and praise God, as we have seen it in Scripture and set forth in the teaching of our catechism this evening, there is a mediator between God and men. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord. We can trust Him, for the good news of the gospel declares that those who believe in Him are saved, because His work and His alone is satisfactory for the salvation of sinners. And every sinner who trusts Him will be, the Bible says, saved, and that means saved forever. To God be the glory. Amen.